You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Are you tired of the I can't mindset? The I'm not good enough mindset? Do you feel like your negative thoughts control your life? Well, you came to the right place. Because in the next 30 minutes, you will learn how to break free from the limiting mindset of anxiety, fear, victimization, depression, trauma, and self-hatred by reprogramming your subconscious mind. It's time to master your mind with Dr. Erica.
Hello, good people, and welcome to Master Your Mind with Dr. Erica. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us today. Today is a good day. Today is a good day. Let's all take a deep breath and release. I just want to tell everyone out there listening that I appreciate, that I love you, that you are worthy and deserving of having all the good that comes into your life. And I want you to know that today is a good day because we all woke up. We have life, we have breath. And because we have breath and we have life today, it means that we have the choice. We can choose what we think. We can choose how we feel. We can choose what choices we make in our life. And so I just want you to know that you're unlimited. And this is the message that I send to my patients, my clients that I work with every day as a psychologist and practicing over 23 years. And I just want you to know that it's your life. It's your choice. Choose to do what brings you joy. Also, you know, want you to know that if you're dealing with anxiety, if you're dealing with stress, if you're dealing with loss of focus, chronic pain, insomnia, depression, CBD, which is cannabidiol, is a life changer. I don't know what I would have done without my daily intake of CBD. And the reason why I advocate so strongly for it, for particularly for mental health, anxiety, stress, loss of focus, insomnia, is because every human being walking has an endocannabinoid system. And our endocannabinoid system has receptor sites in every organ in our body. So when we intake CBD, those receptor sites are looking for the CBD. Remember, it comes from cannabis. It is a plant, and it doesn't come from the marijuana species. It comes from the hemp species. And we know that the hemp species has more medicinal benefits. And so there's an all over body benefit. And our endocannabinoid system helps to create homeostasis and really bring our bodies back into balance. And when you take CBD daily, it brings you back into balance. And that really is the blessing of CBD, the hemp plant, you know. And so I encourage you, if you have not tried it, you have to try it. It is legal in all 50 states. You don't need a prescription. It doesn't get you high. Again, it is really a life changer. I have an online dispensary. Company is Wakana. It's founded by four African-American women who are genius in their own right in specialties and skills. And my website is hemphappier.com. You can learn more about me. If you want to coach with me, if you want therapy, please reach out to me. I am here to support you on your journey to mental wellness. My website is healthyminds.expert. So I am so excited to have the special guest with me today, Florence Ann Romano. And I just want to read this statistic that she shared. Census figures show that there are over 11 million single parent families in the United States, the majority of which are headed by single moms. However, those statistics don't show how many of those women choose to start a family on their own. While the U.S. teen birth rate is falling and the birth weight for mothers age 35 and older is rising, more adult women are becoming single moms by choice through the process of in vitro fertilization, short IVF, rather than waiting for the right partner to start their families. The number of single women opting for IVF quadrupled in the decade between 2007 and 2017, the last year for which numbers of single IVF mothers were reported. And so I am so delighted to have Florence Ann with me today, because she's going to talk about this important option that a lot of mothers are choosing. And Florence Ann Romano is a nationally renowned childcare and village advocate, the author of the children's book, Nanny and Me. She is also the host of the web series, Windy City Nanny, and the podcast, Finger Painting the Future. She has worked as a nanny for over 15 years and believes the key to a family's success lies in focusing on what she calls the trifecta: parent, child, and caretaker, working in unison toward common family goals. And so I just want to welcome her today. She has been featured on many national programs, including Home and Family, The Doctor and the Diva, Fox News, Good Day Chicago, WGN, The Jenny McCarthy Show, Sirius XM, and more. She was born and raised just outside of Chicago, that's where I am. She earned her degree in performance theater at Bradley University in Peoria, Illinois, and she serves as the president and founder of a nonprofit board dedicated to autism awareness, and now serves on the executive board of the Children's Research Fund at Lurie's Children's Hospital and on the leadership council of the Sesame Workshop. Welcome, welcome, Florence Ann.
Thank you for that beautiful introduction. It's so wonderful to be with you.
And so I just really want you to kind of share a little bit about your story, because I love this idea of having a choice. Can you speak a little bit about your journey and kind of how you came to that?
When I was 30 years old, it was actually my 30th birthday party, I made a promise to myself that if by 35 I was not married, I would consider freezing my eggs and having a child on my own. And so here I am. I am 35, and I have made good on half that promise. I went through two rounds of IVF for egg retrieval, and I got out of one of those egg retrievals, I ended up fertilizing all the eggs, and out of that, I got four embryos with a sperm donor. I have two little girls and two little boys waiting on ice for me there in the cooler. And then I did a second egg retrieval, and I did not fertilize any of those eggs. I decided to keep them unfertilized in case I do get married one day or I do need to fertilize more with the sperm donor. And now I'm entering into the IVF, the third round of IVF, to transfer one of those embryos. I'm giving my body a little bit of a break currently as we prepare for that, because it is a lot that goes in your body. Does a lot to you mentally. And so I'm in the suppression stage right now, where they kind of keep your body at bay. But I really feel like in life, and the reason why I kind of wanted to do this was, you have choices in life, like you said, and there are things you can control and things you can't control in life. And I can't control whether or not I fall in love and, you know, find that husband and have children with him, but I certainly can control whether or not I'm a mother. And I know that is very important to me. And so that's kind of how I live my life, controlling what I can and giving it up, you know, to God, the universe, whatever it might be, to those things I can't. And so it's been an unbelievable journey. And it's also been very humbling, because people have a lot of opinions about what I'm doing, and not everybody is super supportive of it, but I have a village that is, so I'm very grateful for it. It's never a path that I thought I would choose, but I'm grateful that I have that path to choose. And so I don't know where it's going to lead me, but I sure am going to try.
I love that. I love that you're saying it's a choice that you're making, because your passion is loving children and raising children and creating that village. And I think that gives you a unique perspective, because you've taken care of kids for 15 years. You've advocated for kids most of your adult career. Speak to how that has impacted you, because I think coming from that perspective, it's only natural for you to have your own children.
I've always loved children. That's the truth. I was a little girl that used to say to my mom, can you take me to the hospital so I can have my baby? And what I meant by that was, can you take me to the toy store so I could pick out a baby doll? And then I would come home and I would make birth certificates for all my babies. And so I have just loved kids ever since I was a kid myself. And so as you get older, you realize what your priorities are in life. And what's interesting about the pandemic is I think a lot of women realized, you know, during all that lockdown and kind of just the uncertainty of where things were going in life, you know, it was one of those major like self-reflection moments of like, what am I doing? And, you know, what's important to me? And I had already made this decision before the pandemic hit, but when it did, it even more solidified the idea that life is so short and time is ticking by. And I have been given resources to be able to help me in some ways stop the clock. And that can be difficult, I think, for women who have a lot of aspirations and different goals. And, you know, we can't do anything about the biological clock that ticks within us. But we also are pulled towards something that is greater than us. You know, motherhood, I keep saying that I feel like it's not so much a choice I'm making, that it's almost choosing me in some sort of way. But again, there are so many hurdles that go into IVF. And so for me, IVF has taught me that you really just kind of have to be present. It's a day-to-day thing. You can't get too far ahead of yourself. And so I didn't know I needed a lesson in patience, but I certainly now am realizing I needed one. And I'm learning that now for sure.
That's interesting because the process is like you were talking about. It's like one, two, three. Like it is a process to get to retrieve the eggs, to fertilize the eggs, to insert the eggs. Can you talk a little bit about that process? Because I don't think that people realize the emotional and physical focus and energy that is required to sustain a healthy life and mindset to carry that.
Yes. Everyone always talks about hormones and you're like, oh, the hormones are crazy and they make you nuts and stuff. And I didn't go like crazy on the hormones, but I will say in retrospect, you see how you're changing. You see how your body's changing. So to give some specificity to this, so your ovaries are what they're stimulating during the IVF process for egg retrieval, because your ovaries contain follicles. Inside every follicle is an egg. So they're trying to get as many follicles to, you know, bloom and get as many eggs as they can out. Well, your ovaries are normally the size of almonds. I mean, think about that, the size of almonds, that's teeny tiny. Well, during the stimulation process, which can last, the shots, doing the oral medication can last anywhere from 9 to 14 days. I'm a slow, it's called stimulation, they called stimming. I'm a slow stimmer. I took the whole 14 days to do it. My ovaries blew up to the size of peaches. So imagine your ovaries going from almonds to peaches. So I have pictures of what happened to my belly. I mean, it gets very swollen, very bloated. You're pretty uncomfortable. And the strangest thing about it is you have to be super careful with your body, because if you twist or do too many things toward the end, you could make the eggs come out because your ovaries are kind of floating inside there. And you kind of have to make sure you're staying still so those eggs stay in until you're ready to have them taken out. You go through a surgery. It's really more a procedure. You're put under. It's the best part of the whole thing. I'll tell you, take a great nap. And you want that nap at the end because you get insomnia from all the medication. But it's a lot. You know, it's shots and oral medication every day. And your estrogen is going from like 40 to like 5,000 in a matter of days. And you're just exhausted from it. And I did two of those back to back. And so my body didn't have a lot of time to recover, which is why now, before I wanted to go into the transfer stage, I wanted to give my body a chance to recover. And also my mind. I did not realize how exhausted I was. And I needed to come down from the hormones. And I could feel that I just wasn't right. Like, you know, I could feel I had gone through a little too much and I needed a break. I needed me back. And so that was hard. That was a lot of tears because I felt guilty about taking that time for myself. But I needed to. And I guess that's my message for women out there is, you know your body, and you know, no one's putting that time, that time limit on you except yourself right now. So do what you need, and, you know, cause you have to be mentally ready and physically ready for this. If you're not, it's going to make an already difficult experience much more trying.
Yeah. And I imagine too, that you have to have a lot of faith or a lot of belief that I'm doing this because this will bring fruition. This will bring a child. This is my goal. This is my love. Because I feel like without that, you could get irritable. You could get, you know, discouraged. You can begin to doubt. You can begin to question. You can begin to be down on yourself.
You absolutely can feel all of those things because it's, I always say it's you and your body, you know, and everyone wants to help you. I mean, we're so lucky, and we're also lucky to have these people in our villages to be there to support us, but there's really nothing anyone can do for you while you're going through IVF because it's just you and this body that you want to do something for you that maybe it can or cannot. You want the time, you want it to go faster. You want it to do this. You want it to do that. I mean, and again, you have to give up that control. You have to be patient. You have to have that faith. And so it can be very lonely. No matter how many people you have around you, it can be very lonely. And so when I started all of this, I was introduced to a group of women who are going through it as well through my fertility clinic. And all of a sudden I was part of like this secret underground society of like IVF, and it all, but you felt seen, you felt heard, you felt understood. So in life, that's very important, you know, with friends or whatever relationships you have, that you're receiving that from people. And that's why you have different groups of friends. That's why you have different people in your village, is so you can feel fulfilled in these different areas of your heart.
Yeah. And I think it's true. What you're saying is, you know, you ultimately have to be your own rock. You mm-hmm. ultimately have to know when to say no, or know when yeah. to pause. Right. Because at the end of the day, like you said, people can offer support, they can offer encouragement, they can help in different ways. But at the end of the day, you got to take care of you.
Right.
You've got to love you enough right. to say, okay, this is good. My body's responding, or you know what? It's being overworked.
Right.
Let me bring it down. And I think that's a hard thing for women to do.
I think it's a hard thing for women to do because we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to be superwoman, you know, and to ask for help is a very humbling thing. It's very difficult. I always talk about how you have to ask for help, but then when I actually have to do that, I realize how difficult it is for myself sometimes too, because we associate help with weakness. And that is something we have to retrain our brains to really get away from. And I think through something like IVF that is so sensitive, it is so vulnerable, when you're asking for help, when you're already feeling vulnerable, it's just a whole new level of feelings. And like I said before, something that's greatly and almost profoundly humbling.
Yeah. Do you do like meditation, or tell us what are some of your self-care, go-tos? Because yeah. I know that a healthy mind is a healthy right. body.
Right. I mean, I'm a big walker. Like I like to walk. I like to get outside and get that air, but I'm also a person that goes for a lot of drives. When I need to work through something in my head, I'll get in my car and go for a drive. I'll put on music that inspires me or makes me cry because maybe I need to get the cry out. But that's a big self-care for me, is making time to go for a drive in that way. And sometimes I put on that do not disturb at night, at maybe it's like 7 p.m. and I just don't want to talk to anyone anymore that day, and I'm just done. So it kind of depends on the day and what I need to work through. And meditation for me can sometimes be meditation where you sit there and try to clear your mind, but sometimes meditation for me can be prayer. And it just depends on what my heart needs. So I try to listen to my body in that way and do what it needs to recalibrate.
Yeah. And it's funny that you say the driving, because it sounds like the walking and the driving is the meditation. I've always had to drive long distances, whether to school or to work yeah. or whatnot. And there is something about the peacefulness of just the steadiness of the drive. That's trance-like or meditating-like.
It is. And it's time for yourself, you know, unless you don't have anyone in the car with you. And I know for moms out there, they're like, I'm never in the car by myself. But when they are, you know, yeah. I think that's gold.
And going for that walk. So let me ask you this, you know, I know that your background is being a nanny. Mm-hmm. Has the increase, you know, has there been an increase since the pandemic of people needing that village? Because, I mean, we were left, moms were left, like, to work and to take care of the kids. And it's like, how do you do that?
That was the biggest problem, I think, that was the common denominator everyone could kind of relate to during the pandemic was villages were ripped away from them. They didn't have childcare anymore, whether it was in their home or they were going to daycare. And childcare looks and sounds and feels different everywhere you go. But think about like your elderly parents that were helping you during the week. They weren't able to come into the house and help you. And so one thing for me that I think was just like hit me right in the gut was when the village is taken away from you, what do you do? And I don't think we realized how important the village was. So now that we are able to have that back in some capacity, depending on where you live, maybe, you realize that asking for help and needing that help is something that maybe you're not going to be too proud to ask for now, because you know what it feels like to not have it. And so I know a lot of, you know, daycares that shut down, those women, those men became nannies after that because they needed work. And those families who all of a sudden had these kids homeschooling and they were losing their minds were like, I cannot do this and work at the same time. And so I think we realized how to rely on childcare in a much more, healing way. And also in a way that started to eradicate all the guilt that can go into that as well, because there was a lot of guilt and always will be a lot of guilt associated with childcare because someone else is helping you raise your children. But I always say that the best thing in the world for you to do and to think about getting rid of that guilt is, don't you want to surround your child with as much love as possible? Think about those people as an aunt or an uncle or a godparent. Wouldn't you want your children to have those relationships to understand love, you know, in as many different forms as you can? And I think that's one of the positives of the pandemic is that we all realized that it's okay to need people.
Absolutely. And I think another thing is valuing parenting. I yes. really feel like the role of a mother, especially for those mothers that are stay-home mothers.
Right.
And it's like, people realize that's a job,
right?
Like that is a real job,
that is a real job.
That the only sweat and equity, you know, return on it is love, and that the blossoming of your child, the development and right. joy in you know, maturity right. of your child. But boy, we were faced with a challenge because women never really were appreciated for that role. Until it hit exactly. everyone's home on how that's essential exactly. that role is.
Absolutely. It's the same way when, you know, kids were being homeschooled and all of a sudden you were like, whoa, these teachers have a lot on their plate. They do more than I think we ever thought they did when you're all of a sudden having to play teacher and you're like, I'm nowhere near the skill level to be able to handle this. So there were, again, a lot of humbling moments for us during the pandemic, which I hope and like anything, you know, when you go through something like that, there's a kind of a seismic shift in the universe and you hope that you learn something. So on the other side of it, you know, we're better as a society, we're better as human beings. And I think that's one of the things that we'll take from it is that we're always going to maybe have a little bit more empathy having gone through this together about, you know, what those struggles were and what we can do going forward to make sure we support each other. God forbid anything like this should ever happen again.
Yeah. And just the continued compassion for right. mothers, the continued compassion right. for teachers, the right. continued compassion for, you know, the nurses, the care providers in our society need your love, your support, your compassion, because talk about essential. It is essential to human life. It is essential to human, development and upbringing and nurturing. And, I love the trifecta. I love that trifecta, parent, child, and caretaker, because it is true. The more positive influences, the more role models, the more education and guidance that our children have from multiple sources, they learn that the universe isn't scary. They learn that people are there to love and support them and encourage them. And I often feel like that's a different message that they get.
Right. And I think that idea of not to be scared is important because there's a lot of fear in this world. And I think right now, and most recently, we lived through a lot of fear. And how do you combat it? And I think that's what we all were trying to figure out together was survival while living in this very fearful place. And that's, talk about scary. I mean, you read in the history books, things that have happened in the past, you're like, man, well, to live through that must've been interesting. And here we are, writing that history right now that my children and grandchildren will read one day and they'll be like, hey, how did that feel? Living through COVID. And you're like, well, let me tell you, we're doing that right now. And, It really is mind blowing to me to think that one day we're going to have to tell this tale. And I don't know if we're ever, it will heal, but I don't know if we're all ever going to fully shake what it felt like to do this.
Yeah. I'm just glad that, we're kind of coming back to a little bit of sense of normalcy and people are being able to get back to some routine in their life, because I do think that for our children, routine is also essential. Yeah. They need that routine and that structure. Right. I love, hearing your message and what you have to say. Where can my listeners learn more about you, about, your offerings and the work that you do?
I'm all over social media and I answer every DM I get on Instagram. So if you go to FlorenceAnn.Romano or on Facebook too, and my website's FlorenceAnn.Romano, and I have a lot of resources to help you parents out there, especially during the COVID times, post-COVID times, and just in general. And honestly, I answer everything and I'd love to hear from you. And I like to think of myself as a virtual village for you. So please don't hesitate.
Yeah. And what last kind of words of wisdom would you offer my listeners who are either, dealing with IVF or having gone through it or thinking about it as an option for them? What would be your words of wisdom for them?
Like I said before, there are things you can control and things you can't control. And this is something I feel like you can control in your life. And if you are going to go through it, just make sure you are joining groups or talking to someone like myself, that you're taking care of yourself mentally. The mental health part of this is a really real thing. And so make sure you're ready to lean on people and take care of your body and yourself in a way that may feel selfish, but is absolutely necessary. And don't go through it alone. Do not go through it alone at all, because believe me, you're going to want those arms around your heart for sure.
Yeah. And I think the importance of connecting with others is you realize that other people are going through the same thing.
Yes. You're
not alone. And when you have other people, they inspire you.
Right.
They inspire you. And so I think you're an inspiration to a lot of people out there that are in the situation and they're wondering what their options are or where they should go. Yes. And I think it's beautiful that we have the science and technology that can offer this, because there are some people who are the most loving and nurturing of individuals. And that's what you bring. And so that's just natural.
Oh, thank you. Well, so very kind. You made my heart smile. Thank you.
Thank you so much for giving me your time, for sharing your story. And I just want to say thank you. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to Master Your Mind with Dr. Erica. We will be back next with another terrific episode that will allow you to master your mind. Please visit hemphappier.com for more information about Dr. Erica and CBD oil. See you next week.